Do you recognize that group? Oh, we're going to hear it again. Okay. Do you recognize that group? It's a good Canadian band called Down Here. I really like their music. If you just Google them, you can see they got some good stuff. Anyway, that's my plug for Down Here. Today we're going to be looking at Acts 13, verse 1 through 12. And the title of the sermon is The Holy Spirit Said. We'll see the Holy Spirit speak to the church at Antioch. But before we get there, let's put ourselves in context. If you're new to DBICC church family, we're working our way through the book of Acts and even intersperse this through our holiday celebrations and messages. But here we are today. The Holy Spirit said, Acts 13, verse 1 through 12. And there was a problem that was addressed in Acts 12, and that problem was Herod Agrippa. And to please the Jewish leadership, he had arrested James, the brother of John, and had him beheaded. And that made such a hit, he said, well, I'm going to arrest Peter and do the same to him. But Peter was delivered from Herod Agrippa's sword in a very special way. But it all started because people were praying. And God moved his people to pray as Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Collective praying that Peter would be delivered. And he was. The night before his execution, an angel came and delivered Peter in a miraculous way. The guards didn't even know what had happened. The angel took Peter out on the street and then left him. And then Peter made his way back to the house of prayer at John Mark's mother's house, Mary. They were praying. And he was met by Rosebud. The English name is Rhoda. And Rhoda met him and was so happy and to see that the prayers had been answered that she forgot and left Peter outside and went to tell the others. Well, he's still outside. I hadn't let him in. But from that prayer, Peter was freed from prison. Herod was eliminated. We're told in chapter 12, the end of it, that how Herod dies. Very, very picturesque death there of worms eating his stomach up. But the word of God increased and multiplied. This is what Acts is showing you and I. This is what Luke wanted to show Theophilus and what he wants to show the world and what God continues to show the world, that nothing can keep Holy Spirit from making the church grow. And from that, Barnabas and Saul and John Mark go back to Antioch, and that's where we pick them up today in Acts 13, 1 through 12. I think you have that passage in your bulletin insert, and let me read that with us. That's Acts 13, 1 through 12. Please follow along. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. That's John Mark, whose mother Mary's house they had been praying. Verse 6. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you that the word of God is living and active. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, take these words from Acts, this real event that happened in the church at Antioch, and speak to my heart, speak to the heart of my friends. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, when does the Holy Spirit speak? And that's found in verse 1 and 2. And it's to the church in Antioch and while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Worshiping and fasting. How many of you have been on a fast this holiday? I've been fast to the table to get another piece of pumpkin pie or something, right? Maybe you're feeling like, I really got to fast now for health reasons. I've overeaten or overdrank. But whatever, this church was fasting and worshiping. They set aside food. Now, there's different ways to fast and everything. They don't tell us how they fasted. But they put away eating for worship. Now, this is not that word for worship, proskuneo. We'll come to that again in this passage, but that's not the word where they fall down, and they're prostrate. Now, this is the word where we get our word liturgy. So they're serving the Lord in prayer and fasting, and this is when the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Now, you'll see a group of names there who were there, but we're in Antioch now. We're not up in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark have returned, and they're at Antioch praying, and we can see that list. The worship and fasting team, if you will. We had Sandy and the teens today, right, for our worship. Well, this is the worshiping and fasting team. Was it the whole church? Could have been. It doesn't say the whole church, but it says there were the prophets and teachers, and then it lists names. Maybe the whole church was gathered in prayer and fasting. Could we do that one Sunday? I don't know. Martin raised his eyebrow on that one. Okay. Prophets and teachers were there. Okay. People who could explain the gospel. People who could teach the gospel truth and the righteousness that comes through God through faith only in Christ, which is the message, the good news that Jesus saves. The people could make that very clear. And there were people who were prophets too. And perhaps these prophets applied the word of God in a particular specific application that was pertinent to their cultural demands, their challenges. Or perhaps there was a prophesying of events to come about. That's the reason in Antioch that Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem with that gift of money. For famine relief was because there was a prophet who said there's going to be a great famine, and they took it, the money up there. So these prophets and teachers are there, and then there's the encourager. That's Barnabas's English translation name, a son of encouragement. He's from Cyprus. Acts 4:36 tells us in that, and that's going to be pretty important because we're going to be going to Cyprus in just a minute. And the black rock, that's Simeon the Niger. That's the N word, and we're saying it Frenchly, right? But he was a black rock. Also from Africa, from Cilicius. Where is he from? Lucius of Cyrene. Lucius means the bright light, and Cyrene is Libyan. Comforter, as Manian. That's his translation of his name. He worked and lived with Herod, the Tetrarch. And this is the guy who Jesus referred to as the fox. This is the guy who chopped up Jesus' cousin's head, John the Baptist. This was his, if you will, foster brother who grew up with him. God can save anyone. And he saved Mr. Comforter here, who was Herod's companion, which means, translated in Greek, means foster brother. And then there's Paul, whose also name is Saul. Saul means desired, and Paul means little one. And he's from Tarsus. Reason I wanted to show you this worship team is it's of diverse cultural backgrounds. Sandy's Pakistani. Ben is Hong Kongy. We had a Michaela from Alberta, then Michaela from who knows, Alberta, Yanxi, Hong Kong, Geneva, all that. You know, we have such diversity in DB. It's always interesting to meet someone. You know, where are you from? Well, I can't say, but I, you know, and then you start going around places you've lived and you hear that. Now, if I took you back to Mars Hill, North Carolina, that's from my family origins. Tobacco farmers in the hills of Appalachia. And we went to, let's say, Trinity Baptist Church. The only people who traveled overseas were the veterans from World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War. That was to them their extent of foreign travel. Let's go back 2,000 years. And we are in a community in Antioch, probably the third or fourth largest city in the Roman Empire that day. And here's a group of guys of cultural diversity. Big things are happening in the book of Acts. The center is shifting from Jerusalem to the church of Antioch. It's shifting from where Peter is central to where Barnabas and Saul, which will be flipped around, it'll be Paul and Barnabas, where these two men are becoming predominant. But let's get to the story. What did the Holy Spirit say? Pretty simple. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the praying bit. That's that word we looked at last week, proskuneo. Last week we considered what does it mean to adore Jesus. When the wise men came to adore Jesus, the scripture word doesn't use the word adore. You know, we sing, "Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him." Okay, well this is what the Magi came to adore, but the actual word used in scripture is worship. It's the proskuneo, where you bow down, you go to your knees, and you worship. And so this is what they were doing. After the Holy Spirit has said the message, set apart for Barnabas and Saul, for I've got a work to which I have called them to do. And this is what we mean about being called by God, having a calling to the ministry. The Holy Spirit calls one. But there's a recognition among the collective leadership that, yeah, this is something that's happened. Holy Spirit has worked. Well, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Well, sent off, they're not the ones sending them. The actual Greek means they released them. They let them go, you know. Because we're going to find out that it's the Holy Spirit who sends them. And I'll talk about that word there in a minute. But set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, was there a voice while they were all praying and fasting and they hear the Holy Spirit says, "Hello, this is Holy Spirit, set apart"? You think that happened? Probably not. Probably it was one of the people said something. Now, I maybe stand corrected on this. This is my opinion. You know, scripture isn't that clear, other than the Holy Spirit said something. But remember, Christ said that don't be afraid when they arrest you what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will be with you and He will tell you what to say. Okay? In other words, when they speak, it'll be the Holy Spirit speaking. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills the church on Pentecost, what do? They start speaking in 16 different languages, which are understood by people from those different regions. When the Holy Spirit fills somebody, we're going to see him fill Paul. Often what happens? Someone says something. So I really don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke, if it was through an individual, but I think like they were all praying. What were they there for, praying for? I mean, Barnabas and Saul had returned. John Mark's come with them. They have these various leaders, and they're all praying there, the prophets and teachers. I think they're just asking God, what should we do next? What seems to reason, you know, Paul and Barnabas has this experience, this cross-cultural diversity among them, and they have to seem to have the gifting, so they should be the ones we send out. You know, is this, Holy Spirit seems to be saying that to me, and I, what do you guys think? And yeah, amen. I mean, I don't know how it took place. But Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Mission is on the heart of God. God wants to save people in DB. God wants to save people in your workplace. God wants to save people that are in your circle of companions, of friendships, a network of all kinds of people. Who's going to reach them? Listen. And the Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will show us who we are to send out, who we are to set apart. Here's a photo of someone of the laying on of hands and praying for them. But what were they sent to? Well, they were sent to Cyprus. And we're told that they enter Cyprus by way of Seleucia. That's where they set sail from Seleucia. And they arrived at this place called Salamis. And they went through the whole of the island. And I think it's about 130 miles of spans, this island. So it's no little Lantau island. It's big. Okay, 130 miles in two mountain ranges. And they went through the whole island and they end up on Paphos. So it's like you know, they went from, how could we say, they went from Victoria, Hong Kong Island to Yuen Long. You know, they covered everything and in between. But they went to that place. But more so, oh, here's a map. Here's a good map. So you can see how they came down to Seleucia, south of Antioch, and then they sailed Salamis and then Paphos. This shows you the greater first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. Pretty good map. But they were not only sent to a place. What makes a place special? They're sent to people. And they went to the synagogues of the Jews. That's Salamis. We're told that. And then they went through all that island and everything. We're not told about that specifics, but we do know they went to the synagogues of the Jews. These are people who had some exposure that there is a creator God who has worked through history through a people called Israel, displaying his marvelous, mighty deeds. And what happened? A people were disobedient. And not even recognizing the King Jesus when he came, instead crucified him. And to hear that message presented in the synagogues, yes, the one who our leaders in Jerusalem rejected and crucified rose from the dead, ascended from behind. He's coming again to judge both the living and the dead, so repent and believe. They heard that message in the synagogues, and they understood it. We don't know how many in the synagogues came to faith, but we are given insight into this one fellow, this proconsul, Sergius Paulus. Who would you say is the most powerful man in our city? Is it C.Y. Learn? Politically, maybe. Yeah, maybe. We could argue that. How about, what's that guy, Lagosing? Has he got a little bit of power? Yeah. This is the type of person we're talking about. For Cyprus, the number one guy. You know the story. He comes to faith. It's a pretty good story, right? But in essence, what we see going on, the gospel goes to Cyprus, to both Jew and the Gentile. And it's zeroing in, it's helping us focus primarily upon Sergius Paulus, the proconsul. The Holy Spirit speaks, and he says, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas to do the work. And what was that work? To proclaim the word of God. In verse 5 and 7. Jesus is the Christ. There is no other way to God the Father but through Jesus Christ. Silence, Elymas. Now this sorcerer guy, he was kind of the proconsul, Sergio Paulus is the proconsul's advisor. And he's described as what? As a magician, which his name really means, sorcerer. He's a shaman. He's a false prophet known as Bar-Jesus, which means son of salvation. By the way, Sergius Paulus' name means the little wonder. don't we have a superhero called Wonder Woman? We don't have a Wonder Man, do we? I don't think there's a Wonder Man. So this is who this Sergius' nickname would be, Wonder Man. I mean, I like Chinese names. They have meaning, you know. I like I don't know you guys up there who Chinese, your Chinese names. I could but you translate Chinese names, it's got very concrete meaning to it. I mean, like I like to be Bok Wing Kun, you know, the eternally strong white guy, you know. But I'm Bok Knock Off. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, it's not a real Chinese name. It's just James the White. Translate for translation. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, their names can be translated, and Sergius Paulus means the little wonder. So the little wonder has this son of salvation as his advisor, who wants to do what? It says, where's this guy? But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He doesn't want them to believe. And then you see how he's silenced. I was trying to read this out to my family last night, and they said, Dad, that's your pastor's voice, isn't it? That's your preaching voice or something, you know. But can you imagine how Paul spoke to this guy? I'd like to see Roberto do this, or Mitch, you know. How would you do this line, you know? Verse 9, but Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. First, Holy Spirit is filling him. And when Holy Spirit fills an individual, normally, you'll see in Scripture different things happen, but normally there is a proclamation. There's words that follow. He looked intently at him. Intently. You're looking intently. Okay. I can't do this to you guys, okay? You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked and straight the paths of the Lord? That's the way I feel. He said it with some force. I don't think he said it very gently. And now, behold, Paul goes on, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. And, of course, immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. So the silence of Elymas. It was important, because that led to the conversion of the proconsul. He saw and he believed. for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. I hope the Word of God never ceases to astonish you when you read this story. We're finishing reading the book of Revelation, and I'm behind my readings, guys, but I do want to finish it. It's a marvelous book. Don't be afraid to read that book. Basically, it says Jesus wins. All right, Jesus wins, and it shows the judgment which is coming upon all those who have rejected him. It's caged in a lot of what we call apocryphal type of style of writing. Much of it's symbolic, but in short, Jesus wins. And to see how he's worshipped in heaven, nothing is going to thwart the great plan, sovereign ending of human existence as we know, in the creation of a new heaven and new earth. And so it's good to have that long-term vision. Where am I going? Cousin Butch Stocks went to Dale's restaurant on Boxing Day with all the Gore family. This is part of my mother's side of the family. And they had their fish style meals. It's a lot of fried fish and hush puppies and all this stuff. And he goes home, and then he dies of a heart attack that night. Long-term plan. Where are you going? And I hope you know by faith in Jesus Christ that you are going to go to heaven and live there forever and ever with him on a new earth, having a great job and a great place. I hope Cousin Butch is there. We've lost a few loved ones among us this year, and we know they're there. I look forward to being with them. This proconsul, we'll meet him. We'll get to hear his side of the story and what happened with Elymas. Did Elymas ever come to faith? I don't know. But he was blinded for a season. Some side notes. John Mark has been there to assist. Now, John Mark wasn't set aside and sent out by the Holy Spirit. The reason I say that the word sent out by the Holy Spirit is ex-paleo, I think. Yeah, ex-paleo. And ex-balio are words that were used in the Scripture when we say send out. How can I explain this? After prayer and fasting, they released them. They didn't send them out, they released them. Because they're being sent out by the Holy Spirit, set apart by the Holy Spirit for the work which the Holy Spirit had for them to do, and they're sent out. Have any of you guys ever played with knives growing up? Okay, a few of us. One confess. I mean, you ever throw a knife at a tree? And back in Mars Hill, North Carolina again, Aunt Violet's farm, and I can see the little maple tree there, and I'd throw it. It might stick, it might just hit the tree and bounce off. But my father would throw it. It's kind of like a boy knife, a miniature boy knife, not a real big long one like the guy from Australia carried around, but a little one. And then I couldn't pull it out. My dad would throw it, I couldn't pull it out. You'd have to come pull it out for me. This is what I mean. When the Holy Spirit sends you to Cyprus, you stick. You do his work, and then you get on the boat and you go. So sent out from Antioch into Cyprus with power. But John Mark wasn't one of those. And the reason I want to say that is because we're going to see him next week go back to Jerusalem. And that hurt Paul a lot. Another side note, Sergius Paulus, is there another line for Sergius? Nope. Well, I'll tell you about Sergius. Sergius Paulus was a man of intelligence, in verse 7. Sometimes we think that you can't be intellectual and approach the Christian faith. You certainly can. I kind of get offended when people who are non-Christians just assume we're ignoramuses. Do you ever get offended that way? I mean, we have scientists, physicians, lawyers, even pilots. I mean, you trust your life to pilots? Ignoramuses fly you around the world? We're not stupid. But I want to tell you, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. This might be a great institution where people learn a lot about creation. But if they can't put this creation under a creator God, they are lost. They do not have a long-term solution. And that's why we're here, is to proclaim Christ. Sergio Paulus was an intelligent man, and he believed what he saw. He saw Elymas shut up. But he also was astonished at what he heard. For it was him who sought out Barnabas and Saul and said, I want to hear the word of God. You have friends, and I have friends who are like that. So there we are. That's Sergius in the white, and Paul looks like he's pointing the finger at Elymas there in the purple. Man. Application. Does the Holy Spirit speak today? I'm just trying to read the crowd. I saw one head go, yeah. He does. I think many in our hearts say, sure, James, he does. He speaks today. Perhaps a better question is, are we listening? Am I? Your pastor. Listening. Are we, as elders, listening? Are we collectively, as a church, listening? Well, I think we did that when we felt called of God to come and be your pastor. Because actually, guys, we ministered for many years among Hong Kong's urban poor, and you're everything but that. Most of you don't speak Cantonese, and I spent about 6 years busting my head against the wall to learn a little bit. You know, but I'm here because I believe God's called myself and Bonnie. I remember being on the beach after you extended an invitation. We had to pray about it and say, "Is this really what God wants us to do?" Yeah, God does work. In a collective sense, you agreed, and the leadership agreed, and the pastoral search committee agreed, and we felt peace as a couple, and we agreed, and this is what I mean when Holy Spirit speaks, there's unity on the decisions of what to do and where to go and how to minister. But we need to work at one thing. There's no doubt in my mind, and I'll. The elders and I will be having a, Lord willing, the 24th and 25th, we have a retreat, I think. I have to check my bulletin on those dates. And we're trying to make that a time of real listening and praying. Fasting, I'm not sure we're there yet. There could be other seasons this coming year, in 2014, where I hope we can have special prayer meetings. Whether it's considering our youth and how to love our young people and how to see the gospel advance and touch many more other teenagers in this community of Discovery Bay. I hope we can have more prayer meetings and even fasting on this one of how to reach out to many, many pilots that make up our community. These are a couple of things on my heart, and maybe you have some things on your heart. You need to just whisper in our ears. Don't whisper in our ears. You need to just tell the elders and tell us, come, please pray with us. I have no idea. There could be one person whom you're going to touch, who I will touch, who maybe collectively will have a team who will be used to lead to Christ. Keep your eyes open, and may 2014 be a great year. Already one elder has this last couple of weeks said, please pray for me because I'm trying to share with my friend. He's had some health problems, very serious ones, and I want him to know the real gentle healer who gives eternal life. What person is out there? You know, God loves to do evangelism. Mission is on his heart, and he says, James, he says, DBICC, let's go do it for 2014. You want to make a New Year's resolution? I got one for you. And I'm not saying this condescending. I'm saying this for me. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, make my heart like yours, that I will love the world that I will give. Jesus Christ, oh, to learn how to serve and to be humble like you and to be so caring of others who are so different and some people in very, very sin-entangled lives and some people with just broken hearts. Help me, Holy Spirit, and help my brothers and sisters to listen to you in 2014. Perhaps even this holiday, when we're with family and friends, there might be opportunities that you're just opening the door for the gospel. May we listen to you, Holy Spirit. As a church collectively, how do we go and be more involved in equipping each other to be real followers of Christ? Show us your way. Father, if there's one person here today who is crying in their heart, I believe, and what do I do now? I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would just touch them and say to them that in Christ Jesus, they too are a child of God. So if you're here today and this is the first time you're it's trying to click in your heart that, yeah, Jesus is real and I want to follow him, just tell him that in a very simple prayer. So Lord, you hear if there's anyone of that way here this morning. And I had asked that they would talk to a friend, talk to me or an elder, and we can pray and share more with them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to the church at Antioch, and from there began world mission, which has reached even the likes of us. And it's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.